first degree, sodomy in the first degree, sexual abuse in the first degree, attempted murder in the second degree.
This is Alec Roberts in New York. There were more indictments today in the brutal gang rape of the 28-year-old Wall Street executive. Five teens between the ages of 15 and 17 were charged with numerous rape, sodomy, and assault counts. Pleas by their attorneys for bail were denied. All of the defendants gave videotaped statements to police implicating themselves or others, but some of their attorneys charged today that police obtained the confessions by force.
On April 19, 1989, an infamous miscarriage of justice took place. On that day, the lives of five young boys would be forever changed. On her regular jog through Central Park in New York City, 28-year-old Trisha Miley was raped and brutally attacked. Found in the Northwood section of Central Park, she was dragged about 300 feet off the path, beaten with a skull fracture, and left for dead. Miley was found alive by other joggers and was rushed to the hospital, where she would spend 12 days in a coma. She was so severely injured and disfigured that she was only able to be identified by the ring that she was wearing. During the time of Miley's attack, there was a gathering of around 30 teenagers, some of who were engaging in disorderly conduct. This included throwing rocks at cars and some even assaulting passing joggers and cyclists. Due to the actions of some of the teenagers, the police were called and two 14-year-old boys from the 30 were arrested for performing unlawful assembly. Upon the discovery of Trisha Miley's body, which was found roughly at 1:30 a.m., that same evening, the investigators and police force on the case created a connection between the two events that took place in that park. When the news came out and the public found out about the assault, there was outrage, which was followed by an insane amount of media coverage. Everyone wanted answers and compensation for the innocent young woman. As tensions were rising, the police needed a culprit, and they would obtain their objective however they had to. The police and task force then brought in and questioned any teenage boy who matched the description of the two boys taken in that night. This description happened to be 12 to 16-year-old black or Hispanic boys. The two boys, Kevin Richardson and Raymond Santana, were still being detained when Miley's body was found, along with 10 other boys who were also brought in for questioning. The police initiated the questioning with Richardson and Santana, and the following day, many other teenagers were also questioned. Among them was 15-year-old Yusef Salam, 15-year-old Antron McCray, and 16-year-old Corey Wise. Richardson, Santana, Salam, McCray, and Wise would become known as the Central Park Five. When the boys were being questioned, the need for an answer was rising, and behind closed doors, the police would achieve a story that could be foreseen as plausible. All they needed was an admission of guilt. All the boys were heavily interrogated by disgraceful officers. The officers mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted the boys. The boys were beaten, mocked, and starved for hours on end, without water or sleep. The most disturbing aspect of their interrogations was the lack of a parent or guardian present during the time. Although a police officer may approach and question any child that may have been victim or witness to a crime, it is up to the police officer to acknowledge the fact that the child has access to having a parent or guardian or lawyer present at the time of the interrogation. False confessions, or in the case of the Central Park Five, coerced compliant false confessions, occur when a suspect confesses to a crime but knows that they did not commit that crime. Their admission of guilt is followed by escaping further investigation and gaining a promised reward, like immunity. The boys were told that once they complied, they would be freed from the case or from the greater crimes committed. In their admittance, they unknowingly implicated one another in the crimes committed that night. The police officers and Linda Fairstein, who at the time was in charge of the sexual crimes unit, took it upon themselves to make a case out of the lack of available parental consent. Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, Yusef Salam, Antron McCray, Corey Wise, Stephen Lopez, Clarence Thomas, Lamont McCall, Jomo Smith, and Michael Briscoe were all forced to make video statements about that night and to describe the events which had occurred without a parent or guardian present. Among these boys, only Kevin Richardson, Raymond Santana, Yusef Salam, Antron McCray, and Corey Wise confessed to sexually assaulting Miley. Due to sleep deprivation, hunger, and fear, the Central Park Five boys all confessed to the sexual attack on film. The boys who only confessed to physically assaulting Miley were also captured on film. All confessions were coerced by the police, and the confessions were recanted after consulting lawyers. Sadly, these false confessions were used as evidence in the prosecution, and even without physical evidence of any connection between any of the boys and the crimes committed, the Central Park Five were indicted on charges of attempted murder in the second degree, rape in the first degree, sodomy in the first degree, sexual abuse in the first degree, 2 counts of assault in the first degree, robbery in the first degree, 2 counts of robbery in the second degree, 2 counts of assault in the second degree, and riot in the first degree. In total, 10 teens were prosecuted, including Salam, Santana, McCray, Richardson, and Wise. During the time of their trials, Donald Trump was heavily involved in the public eye of the Miley case and demanded justice. This justice was so extreme that he tried to invoke and enforce the death penalty. He notably spent $85,000 on printing full-page ads which read, "Bring back the death penalty. Bring back our police." This was printed in the New York Times, the Daily News, the New York Post, and New York Newsday.
Of course I hate these people. And let's all hate these people, because maybe hate is what we need if we're going to get something done. I mean, it's delightful. I am strongly in favor of the death penalty. I'm also in favor of bringing back police forces that can do something instead of just turning their back, because every quality lawyer that represents people that are in trouble said the first thing they do is start shouting police brutality, etc.
These statements made by Donald Trump would unknowingly affect his future career as President of the United States, as during the time of the election, this case was brought forward to the public eye, where once again, people were able to see how insensitive Donald Trump was when it came to cases that involved races that were different than his own. Trump had believed that the attack was racially motivated, and the fact that all the boys incarcerated were of color enforced the idea that those of color are more dangerous. And at the time, he viewed this as something that was correct to say on air and on a newscast such as CNN. While arguments were arising about what motivated the attack, whether it be racial or situational, 5 young boys had their youth stripped from them, as their sentencing would range from 5 to 15 years in prison. Corey Wise was the only of the 5 boys to be tried as an adult and would face 12 years at Rikers Island. 12 years after the boys were convicted for crimes that they did not commit, convicted murderer and rapist Matthias Reyes, whom was already serving a 33-year sentence, confessed to raping and mutilating Trisha Miley. Reyes' confession was held accountable to the DNA evidence which was found at the scene. The statute of limitations had passed and Reyes was not prosecuted. On December 5, 2002, New York County District Attorney's Office filed a motion explaining the newly found evidence in the case, recommending the court vacate the now Central Park Five's conviction. Assistant District Attorney Nancy E. Ryan, Chief of the Trial Division, stated in the motion that, "Assessing the newly discovered evidence, as we are required to, solely in the light of the proof introduced at the earlier trials, we conclude that there is a probability that the new evidence, had it been available to the juries, would have resulted in verdicts more favorable to the defendants, not only on the charges arising from the attack on the female jogger, but on the other charges as well. The final determination of this motion must, of course, be made by the court. Should the court, as requested by the page 56 of 58 parties, vacate the convictions, the people will move the court to dismiss the indictments. Under all the circumstances, no purpose would be served by a retrial on any of the charges contained in the indictment. Wherefore, for the reasons stated, the people consent to the relief requested and recommend that the court vacate the defendant's convictions in their entirety." Dated New York, New York, December 5, 2002. The men's convictions were vacated by New York County District Attorney Robert M. Morgenthau that year. The Central Park Five would go on to sue New York City for $250 million for false arrest and malicious prosecution. The lawsuit was fought for more than 10 years, and a settlement of $40 million was reached. In June of 2017, Yousef Salam, Kevin Richardson, and Raymond Santana would receive their high school diplomas as they missed their own graduations due to being incarcerated for a crime which they did not commit. All 5 of the men are still seen today as being advocates for the lives of people of color and demanding equality for all. Cases like this highlight the flaws in the judicial system and how, when pressured by media and money, government fails. The boys lost their youths and New York was to blame. Now, no longer the Central Park Five, but the Exonerated Five.
Thank you.